Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Scheman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hey, it's Friday. We're ready to go, ready to get into the weekend. We're live and local for the next 4 hours, 2 to 6. Scheman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. It's a Friday, so that means Field Yates will be on the program. Talk about a fantastic game last night. Thursday night football was good.
Hope he didn't have the under. Ouch.
Yeah. We've got Pigskin Picks. Gabe Morenci coming up. Tickets to give away to WWE. Tickets to give away for the City of Palms Basketball Classic. Lots going on. All right, but before we get going with the show, I want to update you on our situation. As you know, the Beasley Bike Drive is going on, and that's at the Walmart in Estero, off of 41 in Estero Parkway.
Right over there.
We were going to do our show there. We told you all week we were going to be there during our show from 2 to 6. Here's the deal. There's like 25-mile-an-hour gusts of wind, and 96 K-Rock's tent flew through the air and took out our tent right before we're ready to go on the air. And so we're back here in the studio, but that does not mean you do not have to stop your donations. If you go to the parking lot right now, our Beasley broadcast crew is still out there now, a bunch of bikes and everything out there.
All the street teamers are doing an unbelievable job, by the way, everybody.
So you can either bring them there while they're still there, or look in the air, look for the 300-foot broadcast transmitting tower in the air about 500 feet to the south. We're literally across the street. Come on by over here to the Beasley Broadcast Center up until 5 o'clock, and just you could drop off the bikes here. And, in fact, if you're a business, we'll even throw you on the air to promote your business and say hello and thank you and all that stuff. So, literally, we're across the street, and you can still drop those off today. So, we want to keep the Beasley Bike Drive going. We're just not broadcasting there in the parking lot like we're going to.
Like you said, we got over 600 bikes so far.
We got over 700.
700.
Yeah, we want to hit 1,000.
We want to get 1,000, but at the very least, 99.3. We want to get 993,
right? I think that's appropriate, right? If we come up 7 bikes short, oh, well, at least we landed on a nice number.
Yeah.
And there's toys as well. Again, we're teaming up with Marine Toys for Tots Foundation of Lee County in order to collect new unwrapped toys. And, again, bikes... But Christmas gifts, and it's amazing the generosity that has already surrounded this entire event.
Yeah.
It really is overwhelming.
Toys for Tots is out there.
You guys and girls are great.
So thank you for everybody, that everything they've done so far. And let's keep the generosity going. And just because we're 500 feet to the south, indoors, come on by here and see us and still make a donation for the kids.
Yeah, I posted a few pictures on my Facebook page and trying to get them up on the 99.3 ESPN page as well. But you'll get the gist. It's overwhelming when you pull into the parking lot, and it's amazing.
All those shiny new bikes.
The generosity, yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. All right, so with that in mind, if you want to participate in the show today and talk sports and whatever other nonsense we happen to be talking about, it's 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. You can follow me on Twitter at Craig ESPN, if I'll Pete Shepard at PSHEP326. The Stones on Anthony Lynn last night of the Chargers, after they were down by 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, they come back. You think they're going to tie the game and send it to overtime with 4 seconds to go? No. They're going for the win on the road, and they get it. Well, that was so much fun to watch that game last night. Chargers win 29-28 and lock up a playoff berth.
Amazing, and it was Stones. And I had mixed emotions about it, I'll be honest with you. And I'll tell you why. Because the Chiefs were getting shut down in the fourth quarter. I mean, and especially the last couple of drives. The Chargers, on the other hand, I understand Lynch thinking, you know, you're only going to keep Patrick Mahomes down for so long. Even though the Chargers, I thought, really did a pretty good job doing it. Those two picks that Rivers threw put them in pretty good field position, especially early on in the game. So I thought, well, you know, the defense is playing well enough right now. Maybe they'll just kick the extra point and go to overtime, because their kicking game was good last night.
It's what I would have done.
Then I started to say, you know what, this is actually the right thing. On the road, in this environment, great job. It was bad camera work by NFL Network on the final two-point conversion because you didn't really see it until after he caught it because I thought he was throwing the ball away. I really thought that Rivers was throwing the ball away. Yeah. I said, okay, they'll get one more play. And then there it was.
And on top of that, the reason that it was Williams, right?
Yeah.
There's two Williams on the Chargers. Michael, right?
Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
So he was so wide open.
So formal. Yeah.
This always perplexes me a little bit. I think sometimes defensive coordinators and defenses, they make things too complicated. And you always, the two guys went with one guy inside, and then Williams went outside, and he was so wide open by about 10 yards, it seemed like, or at least 10, 15 feet, not yards. And if you just would play man, every guy cover another guy, I think you'd have much more success. I mean, they were so open. It was so embarrassing.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And that's why the Kansas City Chiefs this year are not winning any Super Bowl. It ain't going to happen, folks. And you saw some other things last night, not to mention Les Fuller, if you don't know. He's out for the year. He's done. He broke his wrist or hurt his wrist.
Oh, is he out for the season
well,
now?
Well, I heard he had surgery today on his wrist. They're not saying the timeline, yeah, so I think they're hopefully he can come back for a playoff.
Maybe, but it's looking more and more like they're going to have to hit the road. They might have to play to get to the Super Bowl. They might have to play three times on the road. As spectacular as their offense is, you can tell. And I'll be honest with you. Last night, there were four times he threw the ball, and I went, if this is a playoff game, that is getting picked.
You feel like Mahomes is getting a little too cute now with the left-handed passes and all that?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Stop.
He's going to get burned.
Come on down. Stop reading the headlines because that was a playoff-type atmosphere, especially in the fourth quarter last night. And they couldn't get it done. Well, and you're starting to see the missing element. You know, you're starting to see what happens when Hill isn't at full peak and Kareem Hunt not being there and Sammy Watkins not playing.
No, but I'm saying Damian Williams was a great running back last night. Yeah. And it further puts a tick on my side of the board that running backs, a dime in a dozen. You don't need to draft them. You don't need to sign. Or you need to draft them. You don't resign them.
But Sammy, I think Watkins not being there last night was maybe the biggest miss.
But once again, at the end of that game, why is Andy Reid not running the ball?
Don't know.
Once again,
clock management.
The big heirloom gets the ball back with, 3 minutes left in the game?
Yeah.
A little bit north of 3 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
Pass, run, pass. And it's like, dude, come on, just waste the clock here. If Phillip Rivers gets the ball back with 40 seconds left and is able to go 80 yards, tip your cap and say, let's play for OT. Well, it's just this guy, he gets the calendar turns to December in January, and he doesn't understand the rules of the clock in the NFL.
Darrell Williams, Damian Williams combined 12 rushes for 62 yards.
Yeah,
Damian
but Williams out of the backfield was very impressive. Yeah,
absolutely. Not only that, I was stunned at how bad the Chargers' screen defense was last night at the first half of the game. It was like Williams just, you know, here it is, one, 2 yards over the line of scrimmage, run for 30.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. I thought I would see a lot more of that in the second half because they couldn't stop it. The Chargers were, for whatever reason, preoccupied with him chucking the ball downfield, which, by the way, they did a pretty good job at limiting him to.
Yeah.
As far as those, you know, big, gashing, you know, 65-yard bombs, there was none of that last night.
Well, I will tell you what I am really impressed by now, and I think everybody needs to take note, regarding the Chargers and where they're at. In addition to their 11 wins this year, they've had two wins on the road where they were down by two or more scores late and came back. They did it in Pittsburgh on prime time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're down 17 there.
Yep.
And came back to win. And they were down by two touchdowns late in this one and came back to win. That's impressive. You know, you always hear people say, well, this team's not built to come from behind or whatever. No problem for the Chargers. I mean, they can get them back in a hurry.
And not only that.
They even had Antonio Gates looking good last night in his old age and overweightness.
Craig, this is a team that back on November 4th won at Seattle 25-17. They've won in some pretty hostile environments.
Well, they're used to playing on the road because they don't have home field advantage at home. They're in that 25,000 seats band box at home, and where usually, historically, the road team has more fans. So they're used to the environment. I really think there's something to that.
And they had lost five straight to the Chiefs, including back opening day, 38-28, you know, at their place. And they beat Buffalo. They went to the Rams in that game. They lost by 12, but that was the third game of the season. That was a lot closer. That game, I think the Chargers had the lead in the fourth quarter, if I remember.
Yeah.
I think they did. And then, they, you know, they squeak out a win against San Francisco, 29-27, beat the Raiders, 26-10. Really, another impressive win at Cleveland, 38-14 back on October 14th, a win at home against Tennessee.
Yeah.
29. I mean, this is an impressive resume. I thought I heard somebody say a couple days ago, one of the national pundits, that they hadn't really played anybody. I'm like, what are you talking about?
That game against the Rams, you might be getting it confused with something else. The closest the game was in the fourth quarter was 23-35.
Okay, no, I'm thinking of the Raiders when they played their opening night. Okay, you're right.
The Rams jumped out to a 35-20 lead early in the third quarter, then it just kind of never
Raider
really.
Game,
now, actually, no points were scored in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Talk about the Rams and the Chargers. Both might be hosting conference championships games, and this is my dream. I want to see an AFC championship game in that little 25,000-seat bandbox.
You brought that up last week. NFL's worst nightmare. Worst nightmare.
Are they going to ask them to go to a neutral site at the Coliseum or something like that?
Think about the traffic. They're less than 20 miles apart, those stadiums. They'll be there if that happened.
That won't be a problem. That's like,
it won't?
No, it won't. Because they're different highway systems and whatnot.
Okay. And think about it. It's 30,000 people.
Well, that's true.
In Los Angeles, that's nothing.
That's a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, and also, it's not like you can ask them to go play at the Coliseum. The Rams might be playing at the Coliseum that day, so we're going to have like
one group. Saying? You're right. So they are going to. It's very possible we're going to have an AFC Championship game in that little bandbox.
And now another big test for the Chargers. They're home on Saturday night, 8:20 against Baltimore, and then they close out the season at Denver, which could be a division, could be a playing for home field maybe throughout the entire playoffs. Possibly.
Now, I don't want to be that guy that changes his mind every week, but I have talked about on this show about the MVP race and how early on it was Fitzmagic, and then it was Mahomes, and then it was Breeze, and then it's back to Mahomes. But again, after last night's game, are we ignoring Phillip Rivers for an MVP? Are we ignoring Drew Brees? Because it was back to Mahomes last week, I'm convinced. Who do you guys like for the MVP right now?
I said it last week. I thought Rivers had a shot to get in the conversation with how he played last night.
Yeah.
It didn't get off to a great start.
Right. It was an interception early.
No, I told you. He had 14 picks going into that game and only 9 touchdown passes against the Chiefs.
He's got such a horrible throwing motion.
Because he starts it at
his... I love it.
Sidearm shot put.
Yeah, it's not even sidearm. He starts it at his waist.
Yeah.
It's such a quick little... Like, the ball is out of his hand and his backswing, if you will.
It works.
It is very unorthodox, though, and I remember them talking about that. Where'd you go? NC State, if I'm not...
NC State.
I remember them talking about that when he came out of school, that, like, oh, he better change his throwing motion. He's never going to make it.
It's like the Sean Marion of the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's more like Lonzo Ballish, you know, like that little hitch. But he starts literally, if you really slow it down... There are many times he starts throwing from his waist and kind of, I don't know how he does it.
Let's put it on the poll today. The MVP, Breeze, Mahomes, or Rivers. You want to put Aaron Donald on there too?
I would put Aaron Donald, but I also want to wait. Let's wait. We have two more big games coming up.
That's why I don't want to switch every week. I want to take a hot read temperature right now for the sake of the poll.
That's why the AP named Nagy Coach of the Year already. All right, he's deserved. But
why?
Why now?
We got another.
There's two more games left.
How is
Lynn not in that conversation?
I don't know. He got some votes for me last night.
That team started off 0-4 last year and ended up with 9 wins.
You know who else could make a real push if he's able to win his last 3 games?
Chase.
Yep.
Yeah.
Think about it.
He's supposed to be in last place
if that team posts 10-6 with Tannehill out for 5 games and Brock Osweiler comes in.
Fact.
And looked okay in his time in, actually.
Yeah. You're absolutely right about that.
How about what if the Cowboys went out? And I'm not saying they're going. If they do, you know Garrett's going to get. He'll get votes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I am intrigued by this game at Indianapolis this weekend.
But Nagy, I think, definitely should be right up there at the top. And I am totally intrigued with the game. There's some interesting, not only lines, which we'll get to in our pigskin picks, but there is the Dallas Indy game might be the most fascinating game on the board. People might say, Pittsburgh Patriots, there's desperate team in the Steelers and blah, 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 is a lot on the line. I'm telling you right now, the Wings not losing that game. They're not going to lose that game. So get it out of your heads because it ain't going to happen. That's how confident I haven't said that.
Let's not
speak
in absolutes here. This is sports we're talking about.
I'm speaking in the one time this year in an absolute. Just like I knew they would struggle against Miami last week when I picked the Dolphins. I am telling you They are not.
Wave those towels, Steeler fans. Just wave them.
Keep waving them. It doesn't work. Wave them all you want.
You know what does
work?
It
does. It blinds.
Hook and lateral.
It blinds. Yeah. Not,
the double lateral.
Not this week. But I think the Dallas Indy game is going to be one of the best games of the day.
Now, there is a humongous point spread on the Rams Philly. Mm. Now, the along those storylines, Philadelphia, which is clearly in a must-win situation, it might even be too late for them. Carson Wentz, we know he has a cracked vertebrae. We were told the story's evolved from yesterday he was going to be out to needing 3 months of rest to heal to developing story on a crawl earlier on ESPN, which they have since taken down.
Yes.
That they're not ruling him out playing. Now, maybe that's just a smokescreen for the Rams in preparation.
I think
there's no way that
there.
Wentz is going to play. But I don't know if the line had anything to do with that as well. It was just a humongous line. Nick Foles had not looked good earlier this year, and now they're going to have to rely on him again here in the final two games.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's a weird point spread with that one.
It is, and like I said, I think the quarterback has something to do with it, and I think maybe the Rams are – you know, they're going to be upset the way they played last year. 12.5 points seems like a lot, and I will wait and see if I were going to put shekels on that game or some fake Skittles. I would wait to see how the Dallas Indy game plays out.
Yeah.
Because if they win that game, then it's going to make it extremely difficult for the Eagles to make the playoffs. But if they lose, then the Eagles can win that game on Sunday night. Now we're talking. Now they're back in it. They're only a game behind the Cowboys. But if Dallas wins that game, it's going to feel like, I think mentally the attitude will change a little bit because yeah. I think they're done.
I think you could be right. There's some scoreboard watching going on. All right. And don't forget, boys and girls, we are at the point of the year, which I love, where we have Saturday NFL games because college football regular season's over. There are some bowl games tomorrow, but the NFL now with Saturday football, we've got two games tomorrow night. They are oh, I've already forgotten who they are. They're
Cleveland and Denver, right?
Yeah.
And then the Jets are playing
in Houston.
Jets in Houston. Yeah. I love it. Just sit back and watch NFL football all weekend long.
And both Cleveland, Denver, I think it's going to be a hell of a game because both those teams are still in it for a playoff berth. The Browns are still in it, as crazy as it seems, for the division.
Very much.
And if the Steelers lose, which I think they will on Sunday, that's going to change everything. Mm. They'll only be a game behind them.
Man.
And you know they're right in it, so that's going to be one hell. That Denver Cleveland game, that's another one that might be one of the more entertaining games of the day.
I heard a stat on last night's broadcast. I think 24 of the 32 teams are still alive, and it's the most teams that have been alive this late in the calendar year since like 1970 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of teams that are barely hanging on by a thread, but still technically alive.
And then we have we have to put the Dolphins in this. I think they have a great shot to go in there and win outright. I don't know. I feel so confident they're going to win that game. I almost feel as like I do with the Patriots again. I think Miami is going to go in there and take it to them. I think Minnesota's dead. They're dead meat.
Are you more confident in Miami with an upstep coming off that win, or are you less confident in Minnesota because they're just not all they're supposed to be? They've just changed coaches.
Well, both. I'm confident because the Dolphins should be sky high right now, and if they can just tighten up a little bit on their run defense and not have the Vikings.
Which you know is why the John DeFilippo got fired, because he abandoned the run.
Yeah.
So if you're Miami, I mean, I really think your game plan has to be, we're going to come out. We'll let the $84 million man throw on us.
Right, right.
We're not letting Dalvin Cook run the ball. Because I think Zimmer's going to be so hard-headed this week that run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Go out and stop it, man. I mean, he's telling you what the game plan is going to be for the Vikings when he fires his offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And if you go back a couple weeks ago, if the Dolphins saw how the Patriots played the Vikings, and looking how they defended, they did not have a lot of big bomb completions. They really, and I think Miami, and even though Howard is probably not going to play again, but I think Miami's corners can do just as good a job as what happened with the Patriots a couple weeks ago in Foxborough. They can cover these guys. There's no question. You can cover. They just have to tighten up on the run defense, and I think they'll be in this game the whole way. And I want to see if Miami ever jumps out to a lead. I think the Vikings are going to fold like a cheap tent. I really believe that. I think they're that fractured.
Or do they go back to throwing the ball and they're just discombobulated?
You know what? Let them throw. Miami, you want them to throw the ball. Yeah. Throw it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a hell of a game.
Looking at this weekend slate of games, I think it's one of the most intriguing slates that you have. I mean, there are important games for playoff seeding, if you're going to get in or not, pretty much at every single time slot on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, we can mark the Eagles out of it if they lose on Sunday night.
Yeah.
This New England-Pittsburgh game, I think, it might be the highest-rated Sunday game of the season.
Yeah.
Just based off of what happened last year, both of these teams coming off of performances. I don't know. I'm fascinated by Sunday's slate.
Yeah, I am too. And, even Seahawks 49ers, something's up with that line. The 49ers are dogs by 3.5 points. They just got blasted a few weeks ago. And
Is that San Francisco?
It goes to show you, look, again, Miami lost in Foxborough by, 37, whatever the hell that was?
Yeah.
And then they went here. So, I mean, things
31.
31. Things can
38-7, right?
Okay, whatever it was.
Is that in Seattle or San Francisco?
That game meant nothing because it was a completely, totally different type of game when they played down here. So, yeah, this game is in San Francisco.
Okay.
But the Seahawks cannot afford a brain cramp here.
No.
And they can't because they got the Chiefs waiting next week coming to their place. And, boy, is that going to be – is that going to be something next
week? I'll go out and say it, that the Patriots-Steelers game will be the highest-rated non-primetime game of the season so far. It'll outdo a bunch of primetime games, but there's only two games at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
There's that one and then the Seahawks-Niners.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody in the country gets game.
So the numbers will sort of be skewed by that because of that, because there's only two games.
But that's why I said it.
Well, I agree. you'll be correct. And you'll be correct. But there was a high game this year, really off the charts Sunday afternoon game.
It was a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
The Dallas and somebody?
Dallas and...
It wasn't Dallas and Wells. That was Thursday.
It wasn't Dallas Eagles.
I'm looking it up. Hold up.
The Dallas... New Orleans Thursday night game was the highest rated Thursday night game. I think maybe that's what we're thinking of.
I wonder if last night's game had to be up there.
Had to be. It was a fantastic game.
Although they're down by 14 with 7 minutes to go.
Yeah, but you had a feeling you better hang around and watch that game.
Totally. I couldn't take my eyes off it.
Was that last week that Dallas played Philly?
Yes.
That game did a 14-2.
Yeah.
National. So, okay.
There you go.
All right.
Well, maybe won't. You know what? Those two fan bases?
Yeah.
Well, I think they'll beat it.
You think it'll be up there?
I think it'll beat it. Yeah. And the main reason, a big part of it, is because only two games.
And, the weather blows around the country. People are indoors, and they're watching football at this time of year. It's not like September, where people got stuff to do, and they're out and about. So, all right, we're talking football wall-to-wall. A lot going on here. We'll take your phone calls if you have any reaction or thoughts of what's going on, reaction from last night or thoughts looking forward to this weekend. What'd you think about the Chargers going for two? Pretty gutsy call last night to go for the win with the playoff bid on the line. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776 is the phone number. We're Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard. Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. All right, let's do some housekeeping here. We got a lot of things I got to update you on. First of all, the Beasley Bike Drive is still going on. We're collecting brand new bikes and toys at the Walmart in Estero. We told you we would be broadcasting our show out there from 2 to 6. There's like 25-mile-an-hour winds and all that.
We would have been in Oz.
Yeah, it would have been. Our tent literally got blown over. And listen, so we're in the studios. Now, here's what we want you to do. If you can still make a donation, you can still go to the parking lot. Our Beasley Broadcast Center is still there in the parking lot. You can't miss it. Our stations are represented there. You can drop off a bike there. Or, literally, look in the sky, look for the big transmitter, radio transmitter, that's literally 500 feet away to the south. That's where our studios are. You can drive there, drop them off here at the studio as well. In fact, if you're a business and you want to make a large donation of bikes, and you want to plug your business on the radio, we'll even let you come in here and say hello and all that kind of stuff while our business is still open until 5 o'clock today. So the donations are still coming. We're just not doing our show there, but we're still promoting it. Still want you to come out and do that. There are still people there for Toys for Tots and our radio stations out there collecting bikes. Again, this is at the Walmart at Estero Parkway and 41 right here in Estero. Our studios, by the way, just to the south by, like I said, 500 feet. 2125 South Tamiami Trail if you want to drop off bikes here. Also want to invite you to log on to our website at 993ESPN.com. We've got the 2018 College Football Bowl Pick'em game. Pick all the bowl games, and which one of you listeners get the most right, correct, we will give you as a grand prize our 99.3 ESPN suite to an Everblades game. It includes 10 tickets, 3 parking passes, and a really nice setup. So we got that going on. Later on in the show, we're going to give away a 4-pack to the City of Palms Classic of tickets. If you want to go to that next week, the premier high school basketball tournament in the country at Suncoast Credit Union. And we've got some WWE tickets to be given away. Coming up with the show, Field Yates in 1 hour. We will talk NFL with him. We'll have our pigskin picks like normal in the 4 o'clock hour. And Gabe Morenci will join us at 4:30 to handicap our picks. So with all that being said, if you want to jump on at any time, it's 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
I want to hear from the Dolphin fans out there. I know Bucks fans, you're technically still alive. That's going to be an interesting game as well. But I want to hear from Dolphin fans and how do you know? You should be jacked and pumped this week.
It should be fins up again.
Absolutely.
2 weeks ago, it was fins down. It looked like it was over. We were getting ready to fire Adam Gase. We're going to bring in Jim Harbaugh. We're going to get a new quarterback. We're going to try and get a good draft pick. Now, all of a sudden, you know, lucky break against the Pats, and it's fins up, and it's
not lucky.
There we go. I knew he was going to take deception with the word lucky.
No, they deserve that win. You rush for 189 yards, you deserve a win. They made Bill Moore plays. But just real quick, the NFL has today fined umpire Roy Ellison one game check, $9,300 for his part in an incident involving Bills defensive end Jerry Hughes.
Yeah,
I don't remember that play. What did you guys? I don't. For some reason, I don't remember that.
After the game,
yeah,
the Bills player went after the official in the tunnel.
That's right.
He said the official had used.
I'm going to get the player said I'm going to get you, right? Or was that the official?
No, it was. But he said the ump had said something to him during the game, and I can't remember. It wasn't racial.
No,
called him a
punk,
a B.
Called him a B. Told him to shut up.
And then the play, and Jerry, you said I'll find you. I'm going to get you. Which that's. I mean, how do you not get fined for that?
I don't know.
But anyway, Roy Ellison got fined $9,300.
Very good.
That's just what you put fines last night. That game was horrific, horribly officiated last night. I thought there was there were at least 4 or 5 calls on both sides that were terrible, and the Chiefs got screwed on I don't know how many, a couple of holding calls. The Chargers did too. I mean, it's ridiculous. The helmet to helmet call that was so blatantly obvious.
I'll give you the best non call, that last Chargers touchdown.
Yes,
where it was the Williams caught it with his left hand, and it was kind of awkwardly in his left hand, but he always had control, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I'm glad they left that alone because that I think last year that would have been overturned and it would have cost the Chargers the game.
I thought it was 50-50.
Yeah,
I was last night.
Yeah,
and a couple times we didn't even hear the call. They came back from NFL. Was it me or did we miss the mark last night a couple times? They came back. The call was already made. We had the announcers. You know, Aikman had to say something about it, and Joe Buck.
Yeah.
By the way, Joe. Yes. We all get it. Patrick Mahomes is special to watch. How many times can you say it in the first quarter? Oh, that's so special. He's so special. Shut up. I know. He's special. He's special.
Can keep being
he's so special.
Special.
He's so special. He's so special. He's so special.
But here's
right
the deal.
Right up until he lost.
He better. I said this earlier. You better watch the cuteness. I mean, the no-look passes are great. The left-handed passes. By the way, he tried the left-handed pass last night. That didn't work. Although it did draw a penalty. He better be careful. He's going to get burned on one of these. In the playoffs or something. You watch.
And I'll give him the first touchdown pass he threw last night. And the Chargers screwed that. They gave up on the play. The first touchdown pass, when it looked like he was going to his right. I mean, that should have been picked. I thought it was absolutely going to be picked. It ends up being a wide open pass.
Yeah.
But there are 4 times in that game that I said, oh, man, he does that in the postseason. It's going to be a little bit different.
Sure.
9-4-1. Stop it, Pete. The Bucks are alive just enough for them to fall and embarrass their fans again. I'm just saying they're alive.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
There's 24 teams that are mathematically alive. Look, my Lions are alive. You don't hear me touting about it. They're really not.
No, I told you this week is a bad look. I think the Ravens are going to have their way with them. I think you're going to see Ryan Fitzpatrick in this game because I think they're going to. This is havoc right here.
But if
here.
You see Ryan Fitzpatrick in this game, I mean, that's it. Close up the shop. Dirt cutter.
Yeah.
Light the GM. Winston, they're all gone.
I think
if you make that change now, you're all gone.
But don't you think? I think there's a good chance that might happen. I mean, that part is good. The latter, what you said, yes. But I think in this game, I think it could get out of hand for Jameis Winston. It could.
It could.
And maybe I'm flat wrong. Maybe it comes out and, you know, they stay right with him. But this is a Ravens team right now that is playing really well. Should have won last week in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Really should have. And they have an outstanding defense. And I think this is the kind of game on the road for Jameis where they are going to struggle big time.
Now, the other story I want to keep an eye on is this Carson Wentz story. Again, cracked vertebrae.
Mm-hmm.
He's out. I want to see how Nick Foles does. But, you know, Carson Wentz is now getting the stigma of he can't make it to the finish line. He's fragile.
Yeah.
Blew out a knee last year. Now back this year. And Nick Foles has to come and save him again.
Wouldn't that be something? Dallas loses to the Colts, right?
Yeah.
Here comes Foles. They upset the Rams because I think that line is way too high. I think that's going to be a close game, but we'll get to that in our picks later. But wouldn't that be something if they pulled it off again? And they need some help. I mean,
then what do you do with Nick Foles? I mean, somebody got to pay him. if he delivers 2 years in a row. Absolutely.
Is there an echo in here from last year?
Yeah.
That's why I said he should have capitalized last year.
Should have.
Force a trade.
Because he looked horrible in the preseason and the early season this year. Let's go to the phones at 239-337-ESPN. In fact, speaking of the Eagles, Colin in the Cape wants to talk Philadelphia. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hi, Colin.
Hey, Colin.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Can't complain too much. But you know what? I am a diehard Eagles fan. I've called in multiple times about the Birds. And
yeah.
It's been a rough year. Definitely had that Super Bowl slump, which is expected, but not to this severity. It's nice to know we still have a chance, and it's good old St. Nick coming in right on time around Christmas time, just like he did last year, the same exact week. I think that the Rams are going to be a little lackadaisical on the field, having their division clinch and their playoff berth already there. I think the Eagles are going to be hungry, and they have that underdog status again. And I feel like there's a chance we could squeeze in. I'm not saying we're going to make a Super Bowl run and be champs back to back, but.
Colin, here's a great stat for you. Here's a great stat for you in the Eagles this year. You ready? They are 6-0 this season when they run the ball at least 27 times. They're 0-7 when they don't. So Adams is going to be, I mean, you got to figure he's going to be a big part of the game plan.
Well, yeah, he's got to be. And that's been Doug Peterson's problem is getting away from the run game and trying to control too much of the offense. And that's Curtis this year having, what's his name, go over to the Vikings, who's now fired, and they're talking about bringing him back next year. But, you know, he's got a little bit too much of a grasp on everything and making some really skeptical calls throughout the year, going forward at times when he shouldn't on fourth and long. And, you know, it's been a shaky year for Doug Peterson coming off a Super Bowl win. We were expecting to kind of keep that trend going, and then he had a real big talk after that Super Bowl win about making this a dynasty and been building this up. So if he can piece together and have that run game on the ground, you know, Adams has done a great job. There's no reason to get away from it. Makes it more comfortable for Nick Foles back there running that RPO. And I think it'd open up and Nick Foley and Dynamite could have a good game.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
That's a great stat, though.
Dynamite.
But here's another great stat for you. That since McVay and Wade Phillips, the DC, took over with the Rams last year, the Rams are 16-0 when Donald records a sack.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
One, I think, bad news for Philly was the Sunday night game last week where – I mean, career lows for Goff throwing the ball, career low for Gurley running the ball. I mean, the lowest offensive output that they've had under McVay. Yeah. It was the worst game that McVay.
It was Fisher-esque.
Right, exactly.
But not totally unexpected in that environment, at night, freezing cold from a team from the West Coast. Not completely, but he did not lift. You just saw that game of him, of Goff, he'd be like, this guy sucks.
Yeah, you would. And he's cold.
I don't think that's good story for the Eagles going in to play the Rams on their home field. Rams coming off a bad game.
Yeah, you're right. Let's go back to the phones. Chris in the Cape. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, Chris.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Look, I'm a big Bucs fan. I understand that our odds are highly, highly unlikely to make the playoffs, but I do feel like that we can play a big, big, big spoiler role in the next coming weeks. And the reason I say that is because I know the Cowboys play the Colts this weekend, and I feel like the Colts are gonna win this game. And then I know, I'm telling you right now, I'm calling it, Tampa Bay is going to beat Dallas in Dallas next weekend.
Yeah.
What about this week in Baltimore?
Look, if we have any chance, I think it's going to be a defensive struggle game.
For who?
I, Well, I think for both teams, honestly, I don't think it's going to be as high scoring as some people think it might be. I think we're talking 10-12 game, kind of low-scoring game, and I think Jameis, you know, it's going to be a stupid critical error that, you know, loses us the game, but... Yeah.
Chris, the 12 you may have right. Tampa Bay may only score 12, but there's no way. I don't think they're stopping Baltimore with 10 or anything like that. I think that you're right. For them to win that, they have to play that way somehow, some way, but I don't see that. And I think Winston's going to struggle in this game. You might be right about Dallas. That would be something. But this week in that environment there with the Ravens still with a chance to win the division, I think this is a rough spot for the Bucs this week. I think they're going to get killed, to be honest with you.
This is the last thing I'll say, and then I'll be done. If Jameis has any uncertainty about his future in the offseason, he has 3 games to prove to this organization why they should even think about keeping him.
Absolutely right.
And that's how I look at it. This is the last 3 games of his career as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
And I think if he's good, really good, in just one of them, they're going to go, well, there's the upside. We're hoping we're going to keep him.
Dirk Koetter and Jason Light, this is their career on the line in this game. If they pull this one off somehow, some way, but if they lose, and I think they're going to, and they lose out the rest of the way, then it's done. Yep. And there's no question about it. They're done.
All right, we got a trip down Sound Street coming up. Field Yates at the bottom of next hour as well. We'll have the latest NFL college news. Got some NBA. Quirky story out of the Lakers and Rockets game from last night. We'll get to that later on in the program as well. Plus your phone calls at 239-337-ESPN. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sound Street brought to you by Optimal Male Performance Center in Naples. Go to 993ESPN.com. Complete the Optimal Male Performance Questionnaire. Get $2,400 off of your visit. Last night, Phillip Rivers completes the go-ahead 2-point conversion pass to Mike Williams for the win, 29-28, over the Chiefs on Fox.
This for the win. 4 seconds left in the game, but this is likely the final play that matters. End zone wide open. What a night for Mike Williams. And the Chargers have their first lead of the night. At 29-28.
Chiefs might want to cover somebody next time.
Cheering because the total went over. That's why I hear those cheers.
Absolutely. Rivers afterwards said he's completely on board with the risky play of going for 2 and the win instead of the extra point and the tie. And Anthony Lynn, of course, the head coach, told him we were going for it. He was all on board.
I was going to the sideline, going to overtime. And Coach Lynn said, let's go win it right now. Let's go for 2. Let's go win it right now. And when he said that, there was so much conviction from him. It was, yeah, let's go win it right now. I mean, it was immediately turn around, let's go win it. I mean, and if we didn't win it, we didn't win it. But I think his conviction, it wasn't like, it was no. Let's go win the game.
I think Phillip Rivers is really enjoying this ride. You listen to his press conferences the past couple of games, post games.
You think?
Yeah.
he's sort of channeling Andrew Luck. A little bit.
There's no goofiness to it. Really?
If you saw
it's
him,
a different.
I watched
goofiness.
Him this morning. Did you watch him last night and after?
It's NC State goofy. It's not Stanford goofy.
I think
if that
it's
makes
just
sense.
Childlike giddiness. No, so, but I think Andrew Luck is a whole different goober.
Last night after the game was different. When you saw him at the podium, that's he's a little luckish there.
All right.
It's all right. Nothing wrong with that. Have fun,
Andy Reid. On the other side of the coin, says the Chiefs will learn from this crushing loss. Will he really?
Mm-hmm. What do? We get back on it, and, in the National Football League, you got to be a bit resilient, and that's what you do. You learn from your mistakes, that's real, and then you get yourself, become a better team and get yourself ready to go play Seattle. So that's what we'll do.
Andy Reid has coached in the National Football League for 20 years, 14 with the Eagles, I believe, and now 6 with the Chiefs. Has he learned? Does he learn clock management? Has he learned to close out games?
It feels like he's been coaching longer than that, doesn't
it? It does.
Maybe it's because that's like right when I started paying attention to like everything.
Right. But I don't think he's learned.
I just look at that. You can't be. I mean, I've said it for many, many years. You guys, net yardage in the NFL on defense means squat to me. It means nothing. But in the Kansas City Chiefs case, in this, you can't give up big chunks like that. There's no way. You got to have some semblance of a defense. At least you got to be up there in red zone defense and points allowed. And they're not.
Or takeaways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're not. And that's why they're not going to win a Super Bowl. They'll be exciting to watch. They'll take it to the wire probably with anybody that plays them. But you can't win giving up with that type of defensive backfield. It's not going to happen.
Meanwhile, on to the NBA. And, yes, Christmas is, what, 10 days away?
11.
It's time to start counting. It's time to start paying attention to the NBA.
Quick math.
Just thank you for that. Last night, the Rockets beat the Lakers.
Mm.
James Harden throws up 50.
Watched it, some of it.
And it says the Rockets have a ways to go.
Good for you, Pete.
I did. I watched
it. A little NBA.
Not only that.
Good for you.
I was watching Phoenix and Dallas last night. How about that?
Dirk Nowitzki with his first appearance. So I'm six minutes.
I did a double
take.
I did a double take. I was up. It was hysterical. I was like, oh, my God.
21 years with the same team. Never been done.
Yeah.
All right. Here's James Harden.
Like I've been saying over and over, we're in a hole right now. We got to find a way to get out this hole, and we will. And me and Chris are the leaders. We got to go out there and play well and put ourselves in a position every single night. And that's what we have on the line.
He looked chunky, pudgy. I don't know. I mean, he was great.
What was that silk shorts and jacket he wore into that?
That was Versace.
Oh, was it?
But
on the floor last night, he looked chunky.
I think he's enjoying his life.
Well, that's a beard. That's not his neck.
No, not so much this body. I don't know if it's just, but he was great. And
but once again, he relies on the step back in the fourth quarter.
You mean traveling?
The shot that never goes down in the postseason.
Yeah.
Right. LeBron James had some comments. He was very frustrated.
Yes, he was.
The Lakers were called for a lot of fouls, even to the point where LeBron James guarded Chris Paul with his hands behind. You know that old defensive drill you used to do in high school with your hands behind your back?
Yeah.
He was doing it during the game to make his point. He said it was inexcusable that the Lakers, though, gave Harden 20-plus free throws.
You can't put him on the line. We put him on the line 20 times. He's already talented offensively. Can put the ball in the hole multiple ways, drive, step back threes. But you're giving him easy points if you put a guy like that on the line. You know, you can't put KD on the line for 20 free throws. You know, you can't put him on the line for 20 free throws. You can't put any of our scores that we have in our league on the line 20 times because they just see the ball on the hole.
All right, Bron.
Fault you could.
All right, this is from TMZ Sports. You know, they ask a lot of crazy questions, so I don't think this is a thing. But they caught up with Brett Favre and asked him if he'd ever be interested in coaching the Packers.
would a head coach job of the Packers be something that would interest you?
Oh, it's definitely interesting, but believe me, that's not going to happen. I mean, how could you not be intrigued by that? Now, you know, even if just, and this would never happen, they would never offer, but even if they would, I'm not ready for that, and neither are they.
Neither are they. Joe Philbin's going to end up getting that job, you watch. They're going to stay with Joe Philbin.
Mm-hmm.
All right, coming up, more football to talk about as well. Mm-hmm. Field Yates at the bottom of the hour. And we're going to give away some tickets to the City of Palms Basketball Classic. So hang tight with us. A lot of fun coming up. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.